Who attends the school of the Master? This is Dr. Herbert O. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Who attends the school of the Master? The school of the Master is a very special school, and those who attend the school of the Master are themselves masters. People who come to the school of the Master have given up all of those attitudes that say they're superior to somebody else and that they can do things other people can't do and that they know it all. They come to the school of the Master with an open mind, an open heart, and an open attitude in every possible way. As they enter into the programs of the school of the Master, they do not try to interpret what it's going to lead to, what it's going to accomplish, how they're going to achieve the various things that are set out to be achieved at the school of the Master. They just are open and receptive to all that is good. And as they're open and receptive, wonderful things happen. Doorways open in their inner self and in their inner consciousness. I've been speaking about the concept of the mind being so powerful, the brain being so powerful, that it can take physical reality and physical objectivity and put it in a different framework and have it be expressed differently. And as I have considered these things, and as I've taught these things and shared these things and demonstrated these things with people, people thought, it couldn't be done. It couldn't be done. Just like the illustration of walking on fire. It's a very definite and a very obvious thing, and yet within a certain period of time, people can learn, one day, people can learn how to walk on the red-hot coals and not be burned. And how do they walk on those red-hot coals and not be burned? Well, the thing is, they don't walk on the red-hot coals. They have a different attitude. They walk on a new name that they give the coals, one that makes the coals tolerable to their consciousness, to their thinking. We have sensors, nerve sensors, all over our body. And these nerve sensors are those little nerve endings that receive information of what's going on in our world. And these nerve sensors both work in our eyes and our ears and our nose. They work in our hands, feet, and our toes. They work everywhere. And they work by just sending a electronic message from their extremity to the brain. And the brain receives a message, and that message says what we want the brain to receive. And so we say that, using the illustration of the red-hot coals, we say that the red-hot coals are not red-hot coals. We don't say that. Now, why did I say that we say it if we don't say it? Because I want to impress upon us that we don't say them. We only say what they are. It takes a day, generally, to get our consciousness tuned into the idea that the red-hot coals are cool, wet moss. And it takes a day, usually, because we keep saying, but they're red-hot coals, but they're red-hot coals, but they are red-hot coals. What am I trying to fool myself? I can't fool myself and get away with it. I can't. Well, in School of the Master, we don't fight these things. In the School of the Master, we just take these examples, take these tests, take these programs, and go for them. Now, the programs are very specific and very wonderful. I've just illustrated to you how, in using the burning coals and the cool, wet moss, you have told your mind, you told your brain, that something is true, which is not true. And your brain believed what you told it, because your brain believed that you were being truthful with it. And your brain responded in just that way. In the School of the Master, we have many tests that ask us for our credulity. The tests ask us to believe something which we have known all of our life and which is objectively not so. But we are placing a subjective condition on the objective expression. And we are coming up with a new attitude about whatever it is we choose to have, and then we have that experience. Now, as doctors go to refresher courses, and as teachers go back to school to learn the latest teaching techniques, and as musicians continue practicing their music to be excellent, so we go back to our training school. So we as masters go back to the School of the Master and are reunited with concepts that we sometimes have allowed ourselves to forget. One of the points of the School of the Master was having you stand on one foot for as long as you could. It was not told to you that you stand there as long as you could. You were just told to stand there on one foot. Now, if your first thought was, oh man, what a silly thing to do, what an unreasonable thing to do, what an unimportant thing to do, and why, nobody can do that, that's impossible, you got to have balance, you don't have to have anything. You just stand on one foot, and you stand there, and you stand there, and you don't think of any time. You stand there, and you learn timelessness, but you're not told that you're learning this. You're learning it because you're learning it. We learn subjectively so many things that we do not objectively realize that we are learning. And the reason that we are learning them subjectively is that we are following the program of training that we have chosen to go into in the School of the Master. And in the School of the Master, you're given wonderful things to do. You're told, for instance, to make a meditation path. And you're told not to use anything that is man-made in that meditation path. You can use stones, and you can use your hands, and you can do all sorts of grand and wonderful things. And some people could not be happy unless they got on the tractor and cleared the way, unless they used telephone poles, unless they used things that were already created and already existing. They fought and fought and fought instead of just flowing with the program and realizing that with the program and with their mind, they could in fact see their path exactly like they wanted it to be, and lo and behold, the magic of it being the way they wanted it to be would be so. Oh, some people fought with the tree branches, they fought with the roots, they fought with the path direction they wanted to go, they fought with the stones and the rocks, and they fought with all sorts of ability to make little trinkets out of broken glass that they found. They fought with all the ideas contrary to the program. And then they wondered why they, among the very few, were unable to walk away and say, I have done that. When you go to the school of walking on fire, you come away from there walking on fire, because you paid money and you're going to get your money's worth out of it. You've made an investment and you're going to get your value. And even at the end, if you have not given up the idea that you are greater than any physical, objective thing, if you haven't given up that idea, then you'll say, no, I can't do it, I won't do it. And it's best that you don't do it, because you have not truly entered into that day of training. Now, why is it that some people who take the course of walking on fire are ordinary people, simple, ordinary people? They're not superly intelligent, or some are very intelligent, and they're not, they're just the gambit of people. And as they are the flow of people, the ordinary average person plus the people who are a little exceptional, they can do it because they want to do it. They say, if it can be done, I'm going to do it. And if that's how you do it, I'm going to do that. And so they learn the mantras, they learn the affirmations, they learn the statements, and they practice the statements. And they practice them with just such simplicity and with such ease and realization that it can be done, that it's very well done. They have that childlike attitude that says, I know I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, da, 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 da. And just that flippancy allows them to enter into the school of the master awareness. It allows them to enter into the walking on red hot coals. It allows them to do these crazy, unexpected things in life. And who is it who is ready for the school of the master? Who are these people? Who attends the school of the master? People from every walk of life, people from every level of genius, people from every level of awareness, and each one who enters into the school of the master, each one sets aside their personal proclamation of who they are. They let go of all their presumed attitudes, and they take on the attitude that they're given. And one of the attitudes, which is a very difficult attitude, it's just almost like an impossible attitude. And that attitude is to say, in the school of the master, that I and the instructor are the only one there. The two of us are the only ones in the school of the master. There can be hundreds, but the two of us are the only ones in the school of the master. And as I live that attitude, first person, present tense, positive, as I live in the now, as I am number one, magic takes place. And I can soar through the heavens. I can go to the core of the earth. I can go to the planet of unconditional love. I can live in the now. I can enjoy absolute abundance. I can enjoy perfect health. I can enjoy magnificent relationships. I can live in my master self, master consciousness now. I can be the allness, absolute quality that I am, and I can be the relative as a master in divine order right now. Yes? Who attends the school of the master? People just like you, just like me, but people who forget everything they ever learned and walk in the new light of their new reality. It's an exciting adventure, and it's an exciting pastime, and it is who we really are. Have a lovely day. Perhaps the School of the Master is for you. Think about it. I love you. I love you. I love you.